The program you are about to hear is not an ordinary radio program. This program brings you facts and ideas that the liberal media don't want you to know. Facts and ideas that American patriots must know if our nation, our freedom, and our people are to survive. Like the patriots of Eastern Europe in the 1980s, American patriots are finally starting to be heard from. This program is the voice of those patriots, the voice of the decent, hard-working, and long-suffering American people. This is American Dissident Voices. Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm your host, Kevin Alfred Strong. On last week's program, we uncovered the growing scandal surrounding the organization known as the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, or ADL for short. The ADL, which likes to portray itself as a humanitarian and civil rights organization, working to oppose prejudice against Jews and other racial minorities, and which has 31 regional offices across the United States, has recently been implicated in the theft of confidential police and government files on thousands of innocent American citizens. These citizens were mostly ordinary Americans, neither accused of or guilty of any crimes, but who were either critical of the government of Israel, for which the ADL acts as an illegally unregistered foreign agent, or who had criticized some aspect of the multicultural, one-world future planned for this country by the forces behind the ADL. For these thought crimes, these Americans had been placed on the ADL's enemies list and were considered fair game for the Jewish group's spying operation. On today's program, I'll continue our coverage of the ADL, America's greatest enemy, on American Dissident Voices. American Dissident Voices, brought to you by National Vanguard Books. The ADL PR section are masters at portraying themselves as noble and innocent victims of persecution, and at portraying anyone who criticizes them as that ultimate in unanswerable smear words, anti-Semitic. With the cooperation of their close friends in the media, this image of pious untouchability usually means that criticism of the ADL is usually not allowed in print or on the air, and on the rare occasions when it is, such criticism is most often characterized as hate or bigotry. But it didn't quite work that way this time. What possibly tripped up the ADL and allowed this story some media exposure when police investigators got on the trail of the ADL because certain police files in San Francisco had been discovered missing, was the fact that the ADL did not restrict its spying to so-called right-wing extremists and other American patriots? No, they also infiltrated and gathered data on a number of leftist and liberal groups, lest those groups stray too far from the ADL party line and start doing unacceptable things, like honest liberals occasionally do, like criticizing Israel's genocide of Palestinians. Many groups on the left, and make no mistake about it, the left is very influential in academic and media circles in this country, had regarded the ADL as an ally in their quest to change America and turn her away from her Western European roots toward a third world future. So many leftists felt shocked and betrayed by the ADL when they discovered that they were on the ADL's enemy list, right along with the National Alliance and other patriots. For example, the NAACP, the Rainbow Coalition, the ACLU, the American Indian Movement, the homosexual group ACT UP, anti-apartheid groups, and even the hard-left Pacifica radio network were victims of ADL spying. So a few journalists have broken this story of ADL spying and intrigue, and the ADL is no longer an untouchable entity that cannot be criticized in public. A civil claim has been filed against the ADL by 19 individuals who claim that the Anti-Defamation League spy network violated their privacy rights, including the wife of former Congressman Pete McCloskey and the son of former Israeli Defense Minister Moshe Arons. Former Representative McCloskey is the lawyer for the plaintiffs. McCloskey, who was a critic of Israel and was the subject of ADL sneers when he ran for the U.S. Senate in 1982, said, according to a Los Angeles Times story of 15th April, that the ADL should be investigated to determine whether it is an agent of the Israeli government. If it is, he said, it should register, as all foreign agents are required to do. Let me quote from that article. Quote, McCloskey said most of the plaintiffs believe that their careers have been compromised by ADL attacks on them after they made anti-Israel statements. Two people joining the suit who spoke Wednesday are former television and radio commentators. Donald McGaffin, a former commentator at San Francisco television station KPIX, said that after he questioned Israeli policy on negotiating with hijackers in 1985, he was informed by his management that the ADL had sent groups of people to try to get me fired. Colin Edwards said that he was fired from a job as a commentator on a San Francisco FM radio station, KALW, after his boss told him the group had protested his Middle Eastern commentaries. Close quote. Let me interject here that such is standard procedure with the ADL, who are not at all shy about using strong-arm tactics and intimidation, threats, smears, and threatening the loss of advertising to any media outlet that dares to criticize Israel, the ADL, or their agenda. One indictment has been handed down in this spy case against former San Francisco Police Intelligence Detective Tom Girard, who emerged from hiding in the Philippines only to be arrested at San Francisco International Airport on May 8th. Girard apparently sold confidential government files to the ADL's top West Coast spy, Roy Bullock, a homosexual art dealer from San Francisco, whose specialty was the infiltration of Arab and patriotic American organizations and reporting on their activities to the ADL. How extensive is this spying by the ADL? We now know it includes infiltration of groups on both the left and the right, which the ADL considers enemies of Israel or a threat to the ADL's worldwide agenda. But did you know it reaches even into the college classrooms of professors who don't toe the line properly as the ADL sees it? Let's look at an article entitled Spies for Zion in the San Francisco Weekly for 28th April, 1993. Quote, for decades, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith has gathered secret files on critics of Israel. As the San Francisco District Attorney prepares criminal charges against the group, will pressure from prominent Jewish leaders derail the prosecution? Professor Dwight Simpson and the Consul General of Israel stood in a corner at the Fairmont Hotel, discussing the Israeli-Palestinian conflict amid a bright tinkling of glasses and soft murmuring of voices. Halfway through the conversation at the cocktail party, the Israeli diplomat, Harry Natal, said, by the way, that was a very funny joke you told in your class the other day. the San Francisco State University International Relations professor, didn't think much of the comment at first. But later that night, he asked himself, how in the hell does the Israeli consul general know the jokes I tell in my class? As a critic of Israel's occupation of the West Bank and Gaza Strip, Simpson had been targeted by Jewish students in the past. They picketed his class on several occasions, handing out leaflets, charging that he's anti-Semitic and opposes a Jewish homeland. So the professor didn't have to wrestle with the consul general's statement for long. He quickly surmised that Natal got his information from the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, or ADL for short, by way of Jewish students who do political surveillance work on campus for them. It's always confused me why they have to spy on me, Simpson said. My work isn't secret. My whole life is an open book. After a heated demonstration in 1989 that disrupted Simpson's class, the Jewish Student Action Committee was expelled from campus for violating academic freedom. This is a serious problem in academia, Simpson added. Whenever you have monitoring and surveillance, it stifles the free discussion of ideas. Simpson is just one of thousands of people whose lives have been affected by the far-ranging spy activities of the ADL. An 80-year-old nonprofit whose professed mission is to fight anti-Semitism, the ADL uses a less controversial term, fact-finding, for its spying. ADL attorney Barbara Wall denied any wrongdoing. Wall said she has reviewed the ADL's files that prosecutors say contain illegally gathered information. When asked if she saw anything illegal, she paused and then refused to comment. Some close observers believe that political pressure will make it impossible to prosecute the respected Jewish organization. Mark my words, this is going to be obfuscated, obliterated, and desecrated, said one veteran police inspector. It's going to be a classic study in how things get covered up. You don't do Jewish people in San Francisco. It's not PC, especially when you have two U.S. senators who are Jewish, Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein, and the city's chief of protocol is Dick Goldman, a prominent fundraiser in the Jewish community. Last week, Goldman called Police Chief Tony Rivera about the police department's own internal investigation. After the call, the police decided to exclude the ADL and Bullock from the probe. Last year, when federal authorities were considering funding a black Muslim group in Los Angeles after the Rodney King riots in Los Angeles, the ADL's top fact finder in Washington, Myra Boland, sent the word out to ADL informants that she was looking for a criminal conviction on one of the Muslims to use in an op-ed piece in the Washington Post. Close quote. What ADL spy Myra Boland got from her informant, who turned out to be none other than David Gervitz, an ADL operative who lately has been talking a lot to the police and the FBI, was a copy of a classified FBI report on the Nation of Islam, which had recently been stolen from the San Francisco FBI office. The original was later recovered by police when they raided the San Francisco offices of the ADL. Interestingly enough, according to the Village Voice article by Robert Friedman of 11th May, 1993, it was the same Myra Boland who had arranged the trip to Israel, one of many arranged for the indoctrination of U.S. police officers, of Mr. Tom Girard, late of the Philippines and one of the main conduits of stolen police and government information to the ADL. According to this same article, Boland admitted at a 1990 criminal trial that she had, in typical ADL newspeak, shared information with members of the CIA at an invitation-only ADL conference. There is also an ADL connection to the Jonathan Pollard spy affair, I quote again from the Village Voice. Quote, in 1987, the ADL came under FBI scrutiny in the wake of the Pollard spy scandal. While assigned to the Navy's Anti-Terrorist Alert Center, where he had access to the most closely guarded U.S. secrets, Jonathan Pollard stole thousands of pages of classified documents for Israel, which, according to federal prosecutors, could fill a room the size of a large closet, 10 feet by 6 feet by 6 feet. Pollard's handler was Avi Sella, an Israeli Air Force colonel whose wife worked for the New York ADL as a lawyer. Pollard later wrote to friends that a prominent ADL leader was deeply involved in the Israeli spy operation. Close quote. By the way, anti-American forces for the last year or so have been quietly working to secure Pollard's release. Though he betrayed the people of the United States, they consider him a hero. A headline in the Village Voice article, I repeat, I didn't say this, it's from the very liberal, very Jewish Village Voice, screams out the truth. Quote, the Anti-Defamation League has become the Jewish Thought Police. Close quote. American Dissident Voices, brought to you by National Vanguard Books. Let's take a look at the agenda of the ADL for America. They are experts in the art of making subversive aims sound innocent or humanitarian. But listen carefully, and I think even the most skeptical should begin to see that their drive for so-called hate crime legislation is really a drive to stifle all criticism of their program. And their program is to change the racial and cultural character of this country to that of a third world nation, so that we can more easily be incorporated into a one world government. With those goals held firmly in mind, let's take a look at a recent article from the Pomona Star-Ledger entitled, Stockton Coalition Presses Clinton to Reduce Bigotry, Promote Diversity. I might add that forming a coalition with well-meaning liberal dupes is both the standard ADL and the standard communist technique for disguising their own programs as supposedly coming from the whole community. I quote from the article. A group of civic, religious, school, and college leaders has called on Clinton to promote cultural diversity and reduce prejudice. Named the Stockton State College Community Human Relations Coalition, the organization wrote to Clinton last month with recommendations developed during a more than three-hour meeting. At that session were representatives from student groups, the college administration, local governments and schools, the Jewish war veterans, a church and several synagogues, a daycare center, and the Anti-Defamation League. Several of those participating came from the college's Holocaust Resource Center. In explaining why they wrote, they noted that the members of the coalition, quote, are committed to the provision of strong and vibrant leadership in the pursuit of harmony and understanding throughout all levels of our multicultural and diverse society. We strongly believe that racism, bigotry, and intolerance have reigned too long in America and have become too acceptable to be tolerated any longer. In the field of education, it's their wish that Clinton, quote, educate the American people about cultural diversity and, quote, offer courses in prejudice reduction in communities. Other recommendations are to create a national initiative through a President's Council on Hate Crimes and Prejudice Reduction, to strengthen the Civil Rights Commission, and conduct a prejudice reduction audit. Among the aspects of institutional change they want Clinton to achieve are, quote, encourage the Secretary of Education that multiculturalism be taught at all levels of elementary and secondary schools, close quote. Translation, out with Washington and the Continental Army, and in with bogus African history and the Sandinistas. Quote, leverage federal funding to compliance with multicultural inclusion, close quote. Translation, schools that still have mostly traditional American students and still teach in one language instead of 13, including Hindustani and Swahili, will lose their federal funds. Quote, encourage all businesses to have training on multiculturalism and cultural diversity, close quote. Translation, government contracts and regulations will be used as weapons against private businessmen who do not enthusiastically promote the multicultural agenda of the ADL planners. Quote, recognize the efforts of groups working in the nation to alleviate intolerance, bigotry, and racism, close quote. Translation, give taxpayers money and policy-making power to the ADL and its various front groups. Quote, encourage the federal government to be a leader in cultural diversity throughout its ranks, close quote. No translation necessary. And, quote, establish a President's Award for Social Justice and Unity for persons, groups, and organizations who have achieved some success in reducing prejudice, bigotry, and racism, close quote. Translation, traitors to America's traditional heritage and values are to be rewarded and elevated as heroes in the sick world the ADL is building in what used to be called America. We know what the ADL's agenda is. We know that they broke the law routinely, as did the police departments that collaborated with them. It was common knowledge that the ADL was getting paid large sums of government money to train, that is, to indoctrinate, police officers and government officials, not just over a period of years, but decades. A report by Mr. Richard Cotton, entered into the congressional record by Congressman John Rarick, indicates that this has been going on since at least 1963, and furthermore indicates that a large number of the police officers involved in this so-called sensitivity training knew or suspected that they were being brainwashed. In their own words, possibly by those with a communist agenda. How has the ADL been able to get away with it until now? The answer lies in two facts. Facts which also explain many other things about the decline of America. The first fact is that the major media in this country are largely owned or controlled by the same element that controls the ADL, and they have the same agenda. Until just a few weeks ago, when a few brave reporters dared to breathe the forbidden words that the San Francisco District Attorney was saying, all of them, I might add, at the risk of their careers, which may now be much shortened, the ADL was untouchable, and even its most outrageous pro-communist and subversive activities were ignored, and any reportage it got was only the most fulsome praise. The ADL was made respectable by the controlled media. The second important fact is that the government officials and police officers who condoned ADL manipulation and control of their departments were typical, unprincipled careerists who valued respectability above all other things, even above their oaths of office and above their country. If the TV said that the ADL were public-spirited humanitarians, and if the TV said that patriots who were trying to expose the anti-American activities of the ADL were evil bigots and haters, why, the choice was clear to these public servants. They chose to hobnob and rub elbows with the respectable ADL, and would rather have had a limb amputated than be associated with the patriots. Well, friends, a small crack has now appeared in the great wall of lies and brainwashing that has so far obscured the subversive activities of the ADL. This crack is an opportunity for patriots to educate others and to help bring about a great patriotic renewal to this land. The truth is that most Americans don't agree with the agenda of the ADL and would be horrified if they knew the extent to which that group has spied on and manipulated the minds of their fellow Americans. Won't you help us spread the truth to as many people as possible this week? I am offering our scholarly, well-documented research report on the ADL today as our radio offer number 6. It is vitally important that as many Americans as possible have this report, before it's too late, before, as the veteran police inspector said, this case is covered up, obfuscated, obliterated, and desecrated. Our research report is part of our handsomely printed and educational magazine for patriots, National Vanguard. Our special research report on the ADL is yours for a small donation of $5 or more. Just send a donation of as much as you can afford to keep this program on the air, a minimum of $5, to National Vanguard Books, Department R, Post Office Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA. And remember to ask for radio offer number 6. Thank you for your support, and I'll see you next week on American Dissident Voices.